Titus chapter 2, and then 1 Peter chapter 2. And so let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Titus chapter 2, we'll start there, and verse number 11, read down through the end of the chapter, and then we'll go over to 1 Peter chapter number 2. Titus 2, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Now, if you will, go to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2, and if you will, look at verse number 9, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that as we study this tonight, Lord, that you'll help us, dear God, to be as we ought to be, Lord, all we can be for you. Lord, help us to grasp and to understand a precept and a principle that I think in many ways will free people to better serve you, Lord, dear God, and to be all not only that you've made them to be, but all that you want them to be. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Somewhere in the course of my vocabulary development, or lack thereof, the phrase crazy has come into my vocabulary. And I didn't realize how much I said it till somebody pointed out to me. But I'll say, somebody will tell me, that's crazy. Are you kidding? That's crazy. And I use the word crazy in different ways depending on the circumstances. For instance, sometimes it's a good thing to be crazy. Like we was talking to one of the men in I was talking to him after church this morning, and I said, man, I knew three people were going to be baptized, and they just kept coming, and then four, then five, then six people. I said, man, that's crazy. Now, that's like good crazy, all right? When I say it like that, that means that's crazy, but that's good crazy, you know? And then then right after the service, Brother Reiser was telling me about Elias. Is he here? And his special skill set that he has with the utility knife. And he was telling me that he was using a utility knife the other day, and he slipped and was pulling it towards him and had his hand in the way and ended up slicing himself and took one of those famous riser trips to the emergency room that seems to happen over there on a regular basis. And I was really excited about it because Brother Reiser said, one of the things I've been teaching my boy, especially Elias, says, listen, when things are going to happen, and you can't just freak out when they happen, you can't. And so he said, you've got to keep yourself under control. And by the way, that's good lessons right there. There's going to be emergency things happen. So he remembered that. And he walked into the house, and he's holding his hand. And he looked at his mother and said, Mom, listen to me. You can't freak out. But I've cut myself. And he handled that. Said he took him back to the emergency room. They gave him the shots. He didn't cry. Just sat there and toughed it out. Man, amen. That's good stuff. And but when he told me that he'd sliced himself open, I'm like, oh, my, that's crazy. Now, all right, that's like a different kind of crazy, you know. Everything's crazy, but it all doesn't mean the same thing. From the portion of Scripture that we read twice, God says to us that one of the reasons that he saved us was to create for himself a peculiar people. And the Bible, if you study that word, it means, I love this. I love it. It's untouched. I'll read it the way I read it. But from the original Greek word, the word literally means being beyond usual. I just love that. I'm going to start saying that. I'm going to start using that, you know. God made you beyond usual. Yes, that's Katie, that's how God made you, beyond usual. And that's a nice way of not saying, man, you're crazy, you know. But I like that. And I began to think about that and the idea of what the world considers crazy. And you know, one of the things I'll get to eventually, but we might as well just settle in our hearts. And really, it'll help you young people up and it'll free you. If you live like God wants you to live and you're a Bible Christian, the world's going to think you're nuts. Okay, now, I'm not even saying that was so much true 40, 50 years ago, but the world's normal, whatever they call normal, has shifted so far into sinfulness that when somebody just is living a good life, a decent life, a moral life, let alone a godly life, I mean, the world looks at them as if it's abnormal. It's beyond the usual. Hey, how about this, folks? Aren't Christians, aren't we as Christians supposed to be beyond the usual? Aren't we supposed to be beyond the usual? Say, preacher, you said you'd try to dig some Bible out to sell us on this tonight. And I have, man. Let me make my case for being crazy, okay? The case for being crazy. Several Bible stories I came to. Acting crazy, number one, saved David's life. Remember that in 1 Samuel 21? David arose, fled that day for fear of Saul. He headed down to Gath, headed down to the Philistines. He heard that they were bantering around and remembering the song that was sung when he killed Goliath. Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. The Bible says David laid up these words in his heart, was sore afraid of the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad, crazy in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. And the king said unto his servants, lo, you see that the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? The next verse, chapter 22, verse 1, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And so, see, there's times when it might be wise to act a little crazy. It might save your life one of these days. I've had to do that a couple times. I had to do it a couple times in Chicago when I realized that I'd overstepped my boundaries. And the only way to keep from being killed or maimed was to act crazy. I was outside. I could take you to the street. I could take you to the spot. There's some things you don't forget in life. And there was a group of, I was in a Spanish neighborhood. There was a group of Mexican men. They were sitting outside of this apartment building. And they had a cooler full of beer. And I was coming by, and they start heckling me, hey, preacher, you know, and they're offering me booze. And hey, come drink with us, come drink. One of them said, God bless you, whatever, nah, you know, whatever. But then one of them said something, remember, folks, I'm 19, okay? I'm still finding my way. I'm still learning how to be the mature Christian that I've grown to be today. I was handling the situation all right, and then one of them said this to me, and by the way, it just ticked me off. He said, come on, he said, drink, Jesus made wine. And I'm going to tell you, that still ticks me off today. All right, you say, well, I believe he did. Don't come talk to me about it. Well, I'm sorry, but Jesus and Budweiser's not in the same business. Jesus and Jack Daniels isn't producing the same stuff, and you know what, if you've bought into that, honestly, folks, you need to find your old-fashioned King James Holy Bible and restudy it, amen. But anyway, so they said that. So that kind of, I thought, what? Just sit there and tell me my Savior not only drank wine, but made wine. And so I walked over to him and I said, you want to give me a beer? And they're like, yeah. Now there's about four or five of them. You want to give me a beer? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, so I took it. And I said, whose beer is this? Oh, it's yours. Is this your beer? No. Is this your beer? No. Is this your beer? No. Is this your beer? Whose beer is it? It's yours. It's yours. So I popped the top and I dumped it out right on the ground in front of them. At that point, they stopped being amused. And all five of them got up, and I thought, man, I'm going to get whooped here. I just dumped their beer, which it wasn't their beer, folks. It was my beer. I made all of them tell me that it belonged to me. But all of a sudden, they forgot that. Now, let me tell you about Mexicans that live in Chicago. When they reach in their back pocket, they don't have a gun. But they love knives. They really love knives. And so they start reaching in their back pocket. And I thought, well, I'm going to reach in my back pocket. And I did. And they stopped and looked at me, and I looked at them. Well, I reached in my back pocket, and I had my Soul Winner's New Testament back pocket. And I took it out like this, whipped it out. And I looked at them, and I opened the Bible. And I just, at this point, you know what? You can get real inspired to preach when you need inspiration to preach. And I looked down at whatever verse, and I started reading it, and I'm slobbering and carrying on and pointing at them, pointing at the Bible, pointing at them, and all of a sudden their hands come out of their pockets, and they're looking at each other. And I walk away a few steps, come back and preach some more, and they just sit down, and they're watching me. I'm going crazy, and I walk away and look back at them one time, shake the Bible at them, and walk around the corner. Whoo, thank you, God. You know, these guys were going to slice and dice me, man. I dumped their beer on the floor. I made a little mental note, don't do that again, okay? And so sometimes, you know, you got to act a little crazy just to survive in this world. Paul was called crazy just for sharing his testimony. Acts chapter 26, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. He said, you're crazy. And Paul said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. And by the way, notice the end of this, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost, what a sad word, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And you know what? If you stand up and you're bold in your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, the world's going to say you're crazy. If you're not afraid to stand up at the workplace and say, gentlemen, let me tell you the greatest day of my life. Let me tell you what happened. They're going to say that man's crazy. You know what they want? They want you to be a Christian. That's fine because they want you to live like a Christian. They want you to be honest. They want you to treat people right. But they want you to keep your Christianity in the church house. Hey, you know, we're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But if you do it, get used to it. You know, those crazy teenagers down at that Baptist church every Wednesday out knocking on doors. You know, the crazy bus workers, there's a whole bunch of them go out. And that crazy church now, all right, amen, they're going to say it, that's all right. If that's crazy, let's just keep being crazy, amen. And by the way, this will help you a little bit. Jesus was declared crazy just for speaking the truth. John 10, think about this. Truer words, have they ever been spoken? I am the good shepherd. Yes, he is. And know my sheep. Yes, he does. And am known of mine. Amen. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Watch this. That I might take it again. Hey, anything he said not true yet? Everything he said he's going to do, he did it, folks. He laid his life down, but he took it up again. And so he's preaching the truth. No man taketh it from me. Yep, don't ever say they killed Jesus. Nobody ever killed Jesus. The Bible says when he was done, he gave up the ghost. He laid his life down. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, this, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Folks, listen to me. I'm telling you what, we've got so many cowards in the pulpit. We've got so many people and so many preachers that are tiptoeing through the tulips, and they're scared about 80% of the Bible and only preach about 20 of it. And you get an old leather lung. You know what? I'm going to stand before God and answer to him one of these days. I'm going to preach the word, be instant in seed. You get somebody to just stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. And you know what? They'll start saying to the community, that preacher's crazy down there. You know what they'll start saying sometimes in the church house? That preacher's crazy down there. Well, if preaching the truth is crazy, then I'm a crazy preacher, amen? And so let's just keep preaching the truth, all right? Now, this might encourage some of you teenage girls. I found this story. Go over to Acts chapter 12. It'd be good for you girls to see this because you're going to need this sometimes to minister to your parents, all right? Acts chapter number 12 and verse number 5. Acts chapter number 12. And verse number 5, a teenage girl named Rhoda was declared crazy at an all-night prayer meeting. A teenage girl named Rhoda was declared crazy at an all-night prayer meeting. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5, we see that Peter's in prison. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church and to God for him. Verse 5, and so Peter's in prison and the church calls a prayer meeting. Jump down to verse 11. In the meantime, between 5 and 11, an angel shows up and busts Peter out of jail. Verse 11, when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered a thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. There she is. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. She's acting like a teenage girl here. And she forgot what she was doing, got all excited, ran in, told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said, what? What'd they say? Thou art mad. You're crazy, girl. You're crazy. Now, listen to me. There's a couple reasons your parents and adults are going to say that you're crazy. Number one, sometimes you are. As a matter of fact, you are so much on a regular basis that sometimes it's hard to tell when you're not being crazy and when you are being crazy. So I don't know this girl before this. I don't know this girl after this. But maybe she had a track record of just saying crazy things. I don't know. But another thing is, just because you're a teenager, most of the time adults are going to think you're nuts, all right? Have you ever tried to tell your parents something that actually happened, something that was true, and they just absolutely would not believe you, and they looked at you and said, you're out of your mind. It's true. Well, now you know how Rhoda felt. And so when you're trying to do that next time, you open the Bible to this verse and say, they didn't believe her either. They didn't believe her either. That's all right. Call me crazy, but she was right. And they said unto her, thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. It's always amusing to me. I mean, let's have a whole night prayer meeting. Let's pray that they release Peter. And then when they do, let's not believe that it happened. I don't know. Aren't you glad? Watch this. Aren't you glad that God said that if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you'll say to a mountain, move. You say, preacher, these folks didn't have enough faith. They had enough faith to at least come together and pray. That's something. And, you know, maybe it was a mustard seed faith, but it was enough to get an angel involved in the situation, Peter out of jail. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him. They were astonished. How'd that happen? Well, we just spent the last day praying about it, but there it is. Now, let me just conclude my introductory comments by telling you this. If you're a Bible Christian, the world's going to think you're crazy. They are. Let me have you go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm having you move around a little bit, but I want to just settle something. Because, folks, listen to me. We might as well just embrace it. We might as well just understand. You spend your life trying to live your Christian life in such a way that's palatable to the world, then you know what? You're going to have to compromise almost everything this book stands for. Well, preacher, I don't like people think I'm crazy. I don't like them thinking I'm nuts. Listen, you ought to be more concerned about what God thinks about you than what the world thinks about you. And what I just said, I want it to sink into the depths of your heart. I love you kids, but some of the maturing process that needs to go on in your life is you've got to stop being so controlled by the opinion of your peers and the opinion of the world and the opinion of backsliders. You just got to get over that. You've got to stop letting that have such an effect on you. Well, if I say this, people are going to think this of me. If I do this, they're going to think this. Stop it. What's God going to think about you if you don't do it? And so step up and stand up for Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So in other words, stop trying to meet the expectation, the desires of the world, but live up to your potential by living in the will of God. For the times past of our lives may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, reveling, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Watch this. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. And what do? Because they think you're strange? Speaking evil of you. That word strange means this. Look it up. Study it out. Consider you a stranger. I like this word that appeared in the definition. They consider you a stranger or an alien. Watch this, someone from a different place or a different culture. That's what the definition means. They think it's strange. They think you're strange. They see you as a stranger, strange to the ways they think, strange to the ways they live, strange to their customs, strange to their attitudes, strange to their outlooks of life. Folks, good night. If we're Bible Christians, we ought to be all of those things. And they're going to think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. And because... watch this, young people. This is human nature. You gotta grasp this. Get it in your heart. When you become different, you become a target. When people see that you're different and want to be different and are willing to be different, inevitably they will speak evil of you. They will speak evil of you. Now, if you're going to be a Bible Christian, this world's going to think you're crazy. You just settle it, get over it, embrace it, and get past it, okay? And just say, you know what? I'm not going to worry what this world thinks. I'm going to worry what Jesus thinks. I'm going to worry what God sees and God's opinion. That's more important to me. than anything else. Take the world and give me Jesus. And so the case for crazy, and we've looked at these things. Now, number two, watch this. If there is a case for being crazy, and we are going to be considered crazy, you have to make a choice. Here it is, number one, or here's the second point. You have to decide, young people, if you're going to be crazy good or crazy bad. You have to decide if you're going to be crazy good or crazy bad. The title of the message this tonight is Crazy Good, Crazy Good. Now, the Bible says back in our text, if you'd like to go back there, Titus chapter 2, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It tells us to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Why do we become peculiar? Why do we become beyond the usual? Because we've gone through a purification process. We are going through a purification process. Well, I just want to be different. Let me ask you, how are you trying to be different? Are you trying to be different by becoming more worldly? Are you trying to be different by becoming more sinful? Are you trying to be different by making choices that shock a godly people? Are you making that? Listen, that's bad crazy. That's bad crazy. Okay, that's crazy bad. Now, folks, listen to me. You ought to make a decision in your life that, okay, the world is never going to understand and never going to accept me. Doesn't mean that I intentionally go out of my way to be weird or act weird or talk weird. But if I'm going to be as God wants me to be, then I've just got to understand that the world's going to think I'm a little nuts. But you know what? I'm not going to be crazy bad. I'm going to be crazy good. Now, stay with me. I want to just give you something here. And boy, this thought got a hold of me, and I've had a lot of fun with it. I put things in the message and then took them back out. I put things in and then laughed, said, I can't say that, and took them back out. And I've sorted through it, and I think I've got it down to where I might be able to preach it, amen? But we'll see how this goes. Watch this, folks. Listen to me. There's something in the heart of all of us that want to be beyond the usual. Beyond the usual. I hope there is. I'm a little worried about people that just are satisfied with the norm. They just have no ambition, no aspirations, nothing that drives them, nothing that wants them to rise to a level higher than what is normal in this world. But you know what? The devil also knows that that's normal in all of us, that there's a desire to be different. So the devil, what he wants to do is take that desire, that godly desire, that potentially good desire, and he wants to do what he does with everything. He wants to pervert it. So what he says to you is this, the way to stand out and the way to be different and the way to be noticed and the way to be beyond the usual is to head towards the world and into sinfulness. And you know what? You can, if you want to, be crazy bad. But what I want to tell you tonight is this, you know what? Why don't you just choose to be crazy good? Why don't you just choose to say, I'm going to be beyond the usual, beyond the normal, not by seeing how bad I can be, but by living a life that is spectacular, by living a life that is beyond the usual, by living a life that brings honor and glory to God. And you know what? By stepping out past what is considered normal, even in Christianity, and living above and beyond into Christ's likeness. Now listen to me. I want to explain some things to you. I watch our young people and I watch their different personalities, and you know what? It's so much fun. It really is. You know what? We ought not to ever criticize our Creator. And you know what? I thank God that, you know what? We have a variety of different young people with a variety of different personalities. And because of that, they have a variety of different potentials. But I want to say this. God wants you to be you, but he wants you to be a spirit-filled you. Sometimes we use the excuse, well, I just want to be myself. And what you're saying, honestly, is that you don't want to be yourself. You want to be a sinful version of yourself. Why don't you just decide that you're going to be a righteous version of yourself? I mean, watch this. Let me give you this first point. I got to get focused in on here. Watch it. You know what I figured out by watching people? Some people are not going to be normal. Now, that would be almost all of the people in our youth group, all right? They're just not going to be normal. I mean, they're not, okay? I just see it. You know what? They are not going to be normal. Now watch this, folks. I want to help Blessed Hope Baptist Church a little bit. Sometimes what we want to do is we want to squelch that. What's wrong with them wanting to be beyond the normal as long as being beyond the normal is being crazy good? Come on now. Listen, I want you to be who God made you to be, but I want you to be a spirit-filled version of who God made you to be. We're not in the business of turning out robots here. Every one of you are made as a wondrous, one-of-a-kind creation of a creator that put within you the potential and the personality. I mean, folks, you know, right here on this front row, there's a variety of different personalities, some of them borderline psychotic. Come on, parents, if you raise, you know, two or three kids and four or five kids in the same house and you think, did they really come from the same place? Who are these children? How in the world can one child be so different than the other? You know why? Because God made them different. I mean, our job isn't to make them into all of the same person. Our job is to encourage them to take the person that they are and surrender it wholly to a holy God and reach the maximum, watch this, of their crazy good potential. Their crazy good potential. Stay with me here. Watch this. Now, when you realize this, that some people are simply not going to be normal, and you kind of realize that you're that person. I mean, I did. There came a point in time when I thought, you know, I am just not going to be normal. I've tried it. It's boring to me. I don't really like it. I'm not comfortable with normal. Well, watch this. That's good. I mean that. Watch this. That's good. It's not so good when it's Gracie, but it's good in most instances. It's good. But it's not so good when it's Gracie. I don't know how much you know her because she's real quiet around here, but this girl is not right. I'll just tell you that. Spend a little time with her. I know she looks sweet, innocent, all that. She is messed up right up here somewhere. Is that right? Am I telling the truth? Everybody, come on. All right, witnesses. Anybody, someone? All right, I got a witness. But you know what? That's okay. As long as she's crazy good, I don't care. Come on now. All right, come on. I mean, as long as she's crazy good, there's going to be some guy crazy enough to take that on. I guarantee you there will be, you know. Some crazy guy out there. I don't know. Hey, man, any volunteers over here? I'm taking that on. Some places I'll go, some places I don't want to go. Amen. So, amen. What are you talking about? I'm talking about crazy. I'm talking about crazy good. You know what? Hey, you know what? God made you who you are. Don't use that as an excuse to be sinful. Use that as an excuse to be spectacular, to be beyond what anybody could dream, to do things that are beyond what people might even think of you. You know what? One of the motivating facts of my life as a Christian young person was this. Two things motivated me. I had a great motivation, the people that were positively affecting me and positively believed in me. But I also had a motivating effect from those that did not believe in me. And we're prone to criticism. We say, well, people think I'm this and people think I'm that. Oh, so you're just going to give up and be that? Really? And so then you let them win? You know, well, people shouldn't be so negative. Well, welcome to America. So there's always going to be people that say, they ain't got no potential. They're going to turn out. They're going to this. They're going to that. Why don't you just prove them wrong? I mean, you can be crazy bad or you can be crazy good. Come on, you're going to be crazy. Some of y'all are, so you might as well be crazy good. So some people simply are not going to be normal. Now, the world wants you to become crazy bad. And listen to me, and let me explain this to you. Crazy bad looks like fun. But the problem is that crazy bad brings God's correction. And you know what? It comes to with sorrow. Now, crazy good, Christians, we're to be crazy good. Crazy good's fun. Now, crazy bad looks fun and it has pleasure for a while, but I'm going to tell you something, it starts turning bad. Crazy bad starts turning bad, and you know what? Then life doesn't turn out so well. But crazy good's fun, but only that, crazy good brings God's blessings. I love this verse, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. He addeth no sorrow with it. What I want you to do is, And I'm going to give you an assignment. I'm just telling you right now, we get this in the message. I'm going to give you a specific assignment for this summer, and it applies not just to the young people, but everybody in this church. Listen to what I'm going to say here. Watch this. I believe that what we ought to do is stop trying. Now, watch this. Let me give it to you. Stop trying to be normal. Because normal, if you look around, isn't that good. Some of you got great potential for crazy. You just won't let it out. I know I'm taking a risk, parents. I know you're going to be beating some kids this week. I know that. But that's fine if it's crazy good. Are you getting this? I don't want you to destroy the spirits of these young people. I want you to teach them to take those spirits and surrender to the Holy Spirit. And let Him see to it that they reach their God-given potential. Amen. I love this thought. I love this thought. You see, listen, there's crazy good and there's crazy bad. The world's crazy bad. And Christians are to be crazy good. But let me just share this with you. Watch it. Listen, I don't want to spend my life trying to be somewhere in the middle of those two things. Now get what I'm saying right here. You know, well, preacher, I don't want to be crazy bad in the world, but I don't want to be crazy good. What you're saying is I don't really want to be that peculiar people that God is trying to purify into Himself. Because if you become that, you are going to become beyond the usual and you are going to be called crazy. Now, I'm going to help some of you. Okay? Watch this. Well, preacher, I'm not crazy worldly, but I'm not crazy for Christ either. Why not? Why not? Come on, why not? Yeah, but I just like this in the middle thing. Yeah, I know. I read about that in the Laodicean church. It's not a good thing. Now what are you saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying, what? Listen, I love what Reno Lincoln said. I love it. He said this, when's the last time you did something for the first time? And sometimes if we're not careful, we get so bound, even as Christians, by public opinion, sometimes outside of the church, sometimes in the church, that we're just afraid to take that step into something that we have the potential to be and we have the potential to accomplish, but we just, you know what, we've lived in fear. The fear of man bringeth a snare. And we won't step out and be and do some things that God would want us to be and want us to do because we're afraid of somebody saying we're crazy. I made some decisions. In my youthfulness, I made decisions. When I gave my life fully to Christ, I said, you know what? This is what I thought. I thought this. I thought if I'm going to spend my life serving God, I'm going to have a good time doing it. And I'm not going to have to do it. And you know what? The minute you step into that arena, it's not just the lost that start taking pot shots at you. You make Christians nervous. But I just made the decision. You know what? When I walk into a situation, I look at a situation, when I take on a responsibility, you know what I'm always thinking? How do we take this to the next level? What can we begin to do that's outside of the usual? Are you listening to me? Outside of the usual. Hey, let me ask you this. Is what the church doing now, the usual, the normal, is it turning the country upside down for Jesus Christ? Is it having an effect for the souls of men, then maybe we ought to try something unusual. Maybe we ought to think outside the box. I mean, for 11 years I worked under my father, and let me tell you something, I appreciate so much my dad and the liberty he gave me. When I came to work here at the church, me and my dad, philosophically and doctrinally, you couldn't find two people that agreed more about the ministry and the philosophy of ministry and the doctrines of the faith and the Bible, but we were two different personalities. And you know what? I didn't know, honestly, when I started working, I'm just going to let you on the inside, I don't know when I started working, whether this is going to work or not. Because it is sometimes difficult when you're trying to do things as father, son, and then you do that one evening and the next day you come in and it's boss, you know, senior pastor, assistant pastor, and to try to change hats and do it all. I'm not saying we always done it right. I'm saying he did a great job. I'm not sure I got it right a lot of times. But he had a great sense of, I mean, I would walk in and he saw that. I want to teach you something because see, he didn't say, I'm gonna make this guy be Bob Ross. He's like, you know what? He's wired different. And you know what? As long as, parents, I want to give this to you, okay? Because listen to me, if your child, if what they're wanting to do is something extraordinary and brave, yes, let's use the word crazy, but it's for the good, then why are you holding them back from that? I mean, I'd walk into the office and sometimes I'd come in there with just, I mean, crazy. That's the word. I'd have this crazy idea. And a lot of times I didn't think it out. I just had the idea, and I'm just over there knocking on the door. Hey, Dad, I had this idea. And I think, how many times did he just go, oh, no, not again, you know? And a lot of times what happened in the early days is I learned, man, if you're going to go propose something, man, you got to have an outline. I got to think this thing through after he just threw me out the first few times. And then, so I come in and, you know, here I am like a lawyer. I got this thing, you know, and I'm, Dad, look, this is what I'm thinking about. If we could do this, we do that. I think we do this, and this is a positive reason. I think this will have the effect. I'm going to teach you something, or I'll teach you, young preacher, something. Let me tell you something. There's times when my dad took that piece of paper, looked at it, and said, man, this is interesting. This really is. No, we aren't doing that. And I just like, what? I couldn't believe it. It was genius. It was genius. And I said, no, Jerry, there's reasons. I love it when he always said, there's reasons. So I'd take that piece of paper and I'd go back to my office and I opened the file drawer and I had a file of rejected ideas. Put it in that file. I say, that old man's not going to live forever. I became senior pastor at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Grabbed that file. Now that I've got the oversight, now that I see how all the things interact and how one thing affects the other, now that I see the whole picture instead of the one little slice of the pie. By the way, layman, you better listen to this too. Sometimes your preacher's going to say, you know what? I see your passion. I get it. It's not going to work. You can't. And you know what? I can't always explain to you why. That's where you just learn to trust your pastor. God gives him a certain amount of wisdom. So I'm like, all right, it's time now. And I looked at that at first idea, and I'm like, whoa, that's not going to work. Throw that away. Oh, that was really dumb. It ain't going to work. I ended up throwing the whole file away, starting over. But every once in a while, I'd go in the office, and he'd look at me, and he'd say, this is what he'd say. I would never do that. But if you want to, you go ahead. And I wanted to. I remember the first time that, I was back I hadn't been here very long, and I was just back in the back, and I'm reading the missionary letters, and I'm praying over our missionary letters, you know. And read a letter from Brother Demarest down in Mexico back when he was alive, and Brother Don, you know him well, and you knew him well, Brother Liffick, and Brother Jack, you knew, I think you went on a trip down there. Brother Demarest, he just, oh my goodness sakes, what a great soul. I wish he was here. I wish our young people could go somewhere. There's some men that are just, I mean, he's... Can I say this? He's crazy. I mean, it's a good crazy, but he's crazy. Watch this, young man. Watch the Christian men and preachers that have had the greatest impact in this world, most of the world, and most of Christianity said they're crazy. But that's all right as long as they're crazy good. It's good. Amen. I may not be that. I might not want to do that, but hey, if it's crazy good, you go get them. All right. And so I came back and I thought about it. I talked to Dad and I said, I just feel like something needs to happen in the heart of our young people. And I don't know what all it's going to take, but I think going to the mission field. And man, I laid it out and he said, yeah, if you want to do it, you go ahead. And boy, I didn't. I was so dumb. I was so green. And boy, we threw a handful of kids and some chaperones. Miss Tina went with us and a couple other people, adults went with us. And we took seven, Brother Jonathan, teenagers with us. And we just drove all the way to El Paso, Texas in two vans that had no business even being on the road. And we got there and we piled on a bus and Brother Demers headed us back, Dad headed us down into Mexico and wandered. I don't even know where we were. I had no idea to this day where we ended up. But man, for four or five glorious days, you know what we did? We preached and we prayed and we witnessed and we passed out tracts and we gathered people. And, you know, most of us didn't even know what was going on half the time. But you know what? We just tried to love the people and let those Mexican pastors preach to them. And God did an amazing thing. And our young people came back changed and different. And what I'm saying is, you know what, young people? Why don't you just say, God, I don't want to grow up and be usual. I don't want to just be in, listen, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I mean, you got a pastor that just, I just think this way. I just can't stop. You wouldn't believe, you know, the ideas that get to you, you wouldn't believe the ones that don't get to you. I say, yeah, they're just not ready for that one yet. I better wait a while. But listen to me. You know what? The Christians growing up that I wanted to be around were not the normal Christians, they were the crazy good Christians. What's wrong with that? Young people, I want God to put something in your heart to do something unusual for God. I wanted to put it in your heart. And I'm not saying all of you have to end up in full-time Christian service. I mean, even if you just grow up in this just, but you grow up and you plug into the ministries of this church, listen, watch this. Everything you do with for the Lord, you ought to do, I'm going to use the word, you ought to do with your own personal flair. And that doesn't mean you're taking the church in a different, remember what I said about me and my dad? Doctrinally, philosophically, we're the same. Okay, I'm not asking you to try to change those things. But you know what? When you're given something, you know what? God wants you to take your unique personality. You know, I haven't been to every single classroom, and I haven't heard every teacher, but I promise you this. You know what? The same lesson, Brother Jeffrey, is being preached in all the classes, but that doesn't mean it's this every single person. God wants to use you in a specific, blessed, godly way. And you know what? Sometimes you've got a Sunday school teacher that honestly is just more quiet. But you know what? There's a realness to you. You know, I think one of the biggest mistakes is trying to be something you're not. Be who you are. Be a spirit-filled version of who you are. I've watched more quiet people, quiet personalities, and they connect with a certain type of student. And you get more people, some person is more of an excitable personality, and they connect. And you know what? God puts the family together. I mean, He's the one that fits us all together. And you know what? Maybe the person that comes in here and looks up and says, you know, I really don't like that preacher, but I like that riser guy, so I'm going to keep coming here. That's all right. No, I really mean that. That's all right. I think they're stupid, but I mean, that's all right. That's good. Come on now. It takes everybody. You know what I'm trying to do here tonight? I'm trying to get Blessed Hope Baptist Church to start giving. Why don't you give your other family members a little bit of a break? You know, let's stop being like the world. You know what's said about the world is, you know what, they think of strange. You know, in other words, somebody that's not exactly like them, what they want to do is put them into crosshairs and speak evil of them. And stop that. God needs every single personality that's in this room, and God will use you in a way that He can't use me, and me in a way He can't use you. And you know what, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. And what I'm saying is, listen, whatever God has you to do, just decide it's going to be, I want to be, Lord, here's my prayer. Help me to be beyond the usual. I think that everything that you do, even the normal things ought to be done with your own personal spirit, Holy Spirit anointed flair. And you know, say, you know what? Come on, try something different this Sunday. Step outside yourself a little bit. Push your boundaries a little bit. Are you listening to me? All right, I'm saying, you know what? Do something exciting. Do something unusual. And I hope you're using good wisdom in this. I think, you know, I'm not asking you to change the ministry, change the... I'm just saying, come on. God put you there. Get filled with the Spirit of God. Stop being worried about what everybody thinks about everything. I mean, just step out there. Do it with a flair. When I went to the bus ministry in Inner Chicago, you know what? I didn't try to be all these other captains. I just tried to be Jerry Ross. And I decided, you know what? If I come here, and I come here every weekend, and I enjoy myself, and I have a good time, and I love these kids, and you know what? And you know what? I'm just me. And I'm not going to worry about what this person does or what that person does and this guy that thinks that ought to be different. I just got to be me. Lord, a spirit anointed me. Please help me to be holy. Please help me to be pure. I'm not talking about, again, crazy bad. I'm talking about crazy good. Help me to pray until I get an anointing of your Spirit, and let me go out in just the freedom of that and just impact people's lives. And let me tell you, young person, you don't have to be Jerry Ross, and you don't have to be somebody else that's in the youth group. Put away jealousy. Put away envy. It's not a competition. It's you being you, controlled by the Spirit of God, because God can use you and your personality in a way that's unique, and you'll reach people that maybe nobody else could reach just because of that. So do the normal with a flair. Watch this. We should do the normal with a flair, but we should do the unusual frequently. We should do that. And you know what? I think we have, if you look at our track record. I like it when I just see God put together an idea that's outside. When Brother Ron Allen got saved. And that's why I like it when God puts things together. And Brother Ron Allen came for about 6 months off and on, and man sat back there, a lost man, and sometimes he'd come to the altar and pray, and I'd deal with him, and he'd get up, and he wasn't ready to be saved. And man, I've never personally had a front row seat to see anybody battle that like I've seen him battle it. But you know what? He had to come to where he was ready. It had to be real. He had to work through a lot of stuff. And after he got saved, praise God, Brother Jack Gordon took the time, and another man at our church that attended that time, was it over on this side? You knelt right over here after a Wednesday night service. And you know what? All I know is when Ron Allen got up from that prayer meeting, that man was born again, man. He was saved. He got saved that night. Well, you know, you've seen the flip-flop. But I looked at this man. This man's different. This man's unique. He brings a different personality, different, brings a different skill set. And the honest truth is, watch this, folks. You know what I'm saying? Well, how do we tap into that? Who can we reach through him? And I caught him at the back door one day, and I said, Brother Ron, I said, I'm telling you, I'm burdened about soldiers, ex-soldiers like you. He's a Vietnam vet. I said, how do we reach him? I don't know how to reach him. I'm not a soldier. I've never been in the military. How do we reach him? I said, he was telling me some stories about his life and different things and his combat experiences. And I said, I think we need to put it in booklet form. We just need to produce something that we can hand to soldiers and get the gospel to them, something that they'll understand, something that'll mean something to them, connect where they are. And so I'd go over to his house on a Tuesday night. I did this for months and take a little handheld tape recorder, throw it in the middle of the coffee table, and just get him talking and telling stories. And folks, I'm going to tell you, I treat very sacredly those meetings. But Brother Ron, listen, as he emptied and took that stuff out of his heart and emptied it, it freed him in a way that he'd been bound for years. And I'm going to flat tell you this. There was a couple Tuesday nights, I won't go into detail, where, you know what, I ended the session early. I just had to turn the recorder off and said, Ron, I'm going to have to leave. And because all of the stuff that comes out always isn't good stuff. And he had to work through some stuff. But you know what? God helped him, and God did it. And it's like this thing he carried all this life that caused such self-destruction in his life. He got it out on paper, and he got it out. And now it's in a form of something that can help somebody. I hope some of you are listening to me, because you don't have to be a Vietnam vet to do this. Preacher, I don't understand why this happened. I don't understand why this happened. I don't understand a lot of things either. But I'm saying, if it's just inside of you and it's eating you alive, maybe what you need to do is find a way to turn that into something that's going to help somebody. Well, people think I'm crazy. Well, be crazy good. Be crazy good. We printed that thing up, and we took some opportunities around here to take it to some of the National Guard armories in different places, and we equipped our people, and they're stopping vets on the street and in restaurants, and hey, we got something from our church, and Operation Think a Vet was born, a ministry outreach. And we're sitting in our office one day, me, Ron, and a couple guys, and he said, you know what would be neat? We ought to just take this thing on a Memorial Day weekend and go to Washington, D.C., and we ought to just go over there and man the war memorials and just shake hands with veterans and pass this book out. I'm like, man, that is such a cool idea. You know, I said, let's pray together. We got to go into my dad's office. I don't know how this is going to go. And we walked in there, and he's listened to everything. He said, you know what, man, let's do this. And literally, I got up on a Sunday night, and I said, you know what, folks, this is what we're planning. I'm going to put a sign-up list. If we get 8 or 9 guys to go with us, and we're just going to drive and spend the weekend. And I put a piece of paper, had about 8 or 9 lines on it. When I went back there to pull it off, it had 61 names on it. People from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Yeah, you sit there and smile. You don't have to pay for the charter bus. You don't have to make the arrangements. You don't have to figure out all the motel rooms, how you're going to feed everybody. But you know what? It was worth it. It was worth it. And you know what? What I'm saying is, people, even Jasonville, Indiana, Little Baptist Church, got on a bus and a van, took 61 people, spent a whole weekend, shook the hands of over 16,000 veterans and said, God loves you. We're praying for you. By the way, thank you for serving our country. We've got a gift for you. And you know what? I don't think we'll know till we get to heaven what God done with all of that. But I know what he done in this guy's heart with it. It made an effect on me. And what I'm saying is, you know what? You say, preacher, that's crazy. Yeah, but it was crazy good. It was crazy good. We're going to go up to the youth conference. Preacher, that's crazy. It's crazy good. What are you taking these young people to Rhode Island for? I know it's crazy, but it's going to be crazy good. You know what I want? I'm done. I got to stop. You know what I want? I want God to put something in your heart. You know, the devil's saying, hey, you know what? You need to be different. So the way to be different is be crazy bad. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It comes with sorrow. When you're crazy good, there's no sorrow that's mixed with that. And you know what? Be beyond the normal. Be beyond the usual. Dare to do something that God's put in your heart to do. Be somebody other than who you are. You've got the potential. Why not? Why not be that person? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I don't want to see the devil take good and make evil of it. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that he will not take this principle. I've hopefully presented it right. I hopefully have presented it prayerfully. But I pray, dear God, that you'd do a work of grace in our hearts. Put a dream in the heart of a young person. Put a dream in the heart of a young couple. Help somebody to go home and look at their Sunday school class differently, or look at their ministry differently, look at their bus route differently, and just say, you know what, am I just going through the motions? Am I just satisfied with the usual? Am I too worried about being called crazy? Have I allowed the fear of men to become a snare in my life? And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, dear God, in the light of eternity, with your holiness in mind, step out beyond ourselves, and dear God, do some things. And with your help, please be some things that maybe we'd never be, never do, if it wasn't, dear God, for your grace. And the challenge of this message tonight, use it, Lord, please, in our hearts.